Welcome in, sports fans. It is another Monday edition of the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots to talk about over the weekend. And, of course, NBA free agency at the spotlight of everything happening in sports. Yesterday was the opportunity for a lot of players to either opt out or for teams to waive players and put them in a situation where they could be a free agent and see if there might be a better option for them. Some of the big names that have opted out to become a free agent have already found new homes. And that's actually where we'll start talking today is Paul George. No surprise there. I think, you know, we've talked about it multiple times throughout the last month or so. His time was pretty much done with the Clippers. He was not going to be re-signing with the Clippers. There was kind of no love lost between those two. The Clippers wanted to keep him, but I think Paul George kind of saw that, you know, the writing was on the wall. His time there was done. So he has now entered free agency, and just as quickly as he entered it, he's already signed with another team. He had set up meetings yesterday afternoon and into the night with several teams, including the Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. Well, it didn't take long because he didn't even leave the meeting with the 76ers before there was a deal already in place. They already had a deal ready to go for him. It basically made the offer. He accepted it right then and there. So Paul George heading to the Philadelphia 76ers for a four-year, $212 million max deal. So it's funny because that is exactly the same type of deal he could have gotten from the Clippers if he would have decided to stay with the Clippers. But anyways, he ends up going to Philadelphia and playing for essentially the same deal he could have gotten in L.A. So I think it really does kind of show that he was done. He was done playing for the Clippers and done with that organization. So he's moved on now, and that pairs him with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. And I'm just going to say this, watch out Eastern Conference. I think the 76ers have used free agency up until this point, and it's not been a very long time since free agency started. But since it has started, the 76ers had a plan, right? They go out and they get Paul George. They, like I said, they had that deal ready to go for the meeting with Paul George, right? This wasn't just an initial, let's sit down and see if we have, you know, some mutual interest here. This was a, we're going to go ahead and have a deal and we're going to make an offer for you. And Paul George, apparently, he liked what they offered. He accepted the deal right there on the spot, and he's going to be signing that four-year, $212 million deal. 76ers also extended Tyrese Maxey. That's a five-year, $204 million deal. So 76ers got the money to spend, and they are spending it right now. Been very active, really all throughout free agency. And this is what teams need to do. Look, if you want to kind of turn things around and you want to get to where you're playing in the middle of June, for an NBA title, this is how you got to do it. This is the time. I know a lot of people are going to put stock in the draft, but honestly, with the NBA, free agency is where you make your team, right? Look at the Celtics, the team that just lifted the NBA championship. Got that 18th ring. They used free agency to go out and free agency and trade to go out and get already established players. Like a Drew Holiday. Went out and got him, you know, got some other key players in there, and they kind of revamped and rebuilt this team from where they were a couple of years ago when they lost to Golden State in the NBA Finals, and now they built a team that can actually get back and win the NBA Finals, which is what their goal was this year, and they did a great job of that. And so far, the 76ers seem to be matching and manipulating, or not manipulating, but copying, I don't know why I said manipulating, but copying their movements there, and they're going out and they're adding pieces to the team. They're re-signing key players that are important to them, like a Tyrese Maxey. So watch out for the 76ers. Look, I don't know, you know, I know there's some kind of some bad blood between James Harden and the 76ers. I don't know how well that organization is ran internally, but they're doing the right things in free agency so far. So I'm definitely right now, the team that I'm keeping an eye on the free agent market is the 76ers because of what they've done up until this point. So we'll see if they add any more, or maybe they, you know, they got what they wanted early on, so they can just kind of take the rest of the summer and kind of back off a little bit, take a deep breath, and focus on knowing that they have their team set and in place, ready to go for the 2024-2025 season that gets started later on this year. The Lakers, LeBron decided he was going to opt out of that year. become a free agent, but just about the time Laker fans heard that and were like, but we drafted Bronny so you could play together. Why are you? It also came out that, relax, he's opting out so he can rework and restructure a new deal with the Lakers. So it doesn't look like LeBron is leaving L.A. He is going to stay with the Lakers. He's going to play with his son, Bronny. As a matter of fact, he's actually told the Lakers front office he's willing to take a pay cut. LeBron's like, look, I'm willing to take a pay cut to bring in players in here that can help us win a championship. Because I think LeBron's starting to kind of realize, I've only got X amount of years left in the NBA. Right? And let's be honest, probably at competing at a high level, probably in maybe another two or three seasons left in the NBA. He could continue to play past that point, but it'll be kind of one of those situations to where the player just kind of is not exactly what they used to be. Right? And I always hate when athletes, you know, continue to play to that point and even past it, like what we saw with Brett Favre. It's like, just, you know, hang it up. Hang it up. Go out in a blaze of glory. Hang it up and call it a career. I know there's that fire burning inside you to keep playing, but at some point, you just got to take a glass of water and just put that fire out, right? You can't just keep pushing and playing just because you feel like you can't, right? It's like that old song, my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Well, it's the reverse of that. Your body's telling you no, but your mind's telling you yes. You keep playing, and you end up just looking ridiculous out there. So I think LeBron's probably got another three solid years in him in the NBA, and I think he realizes that too. He wants to win a championship, so he's told the front office, I'm willing to take a pay cut to bring in whoever it is we feel like we could need to help us win a championship. And he's also reaching out to people. One of those people he's reaching out to, Klay Thompson. Klay's time in Golden State, pretty much done, right? He's not going back. Kind of almost the same situation with Paul George and the Clippers. That's Klay Thompson and the Warriors. He's pretty much done right there. The Warriors would love to sign him and keep him back, I'm sure. But it looks like he is going to be done. And as soon as free agency started, apparently Wojnarowski is reporting that LeBron gave him a call and was like, hey, buddy, you want a new team, but you don't have to leave the state of California. Come on down here, trade your blue and gold for purple and gold, play with me and Bronny, and let's go win a championship or two. I think Klay Thompson, if Klay Thompson goes anywhere, I think the Lakers would be a great fit for him. Play with LeBron. Play with Bronny, play with the rest of that team they've got there in L.A. And I think that helps them get a little closer to being a championship contender, right? It gives them kind of that more consistent. And D'Angelo Russell is on the Lakers. So, you know, it's one of those things to where you say this about a three-point shooter with D'Angelo Russell on the team. He's pretty good at shooting three. But Klay Thompson is proven in his time at Golden State. He's pretty special. I mean, he and Steph were nicknamed the Splash Brothers for a reason, right? So, if the Lakers can somehow find a way to pull in Klay Thompson, it could be a big get for him. And I think it just shows the leadership of LeBron James. I know a lot of people want to talk smack about LeBron James, but not only is he one of the best players to ever play in the NBA, he's currently the best player in the league. And he's also showing his leadership capabilities by going to Rob Pelinka in the front office for the Lakers and going, hey, guys, I'm going to take a pay cut. I'm going to restructure and I'm going to opt out of my deal so we can restructure a new deal for me. And I know everybody's talking about, oh, well, if he restructures the deal, it's going to be a max deal, myself included. I believe I said that on Friday's show. But he has actually gone to the front office and sat down and said, hey, I'm going to take a pay cut because I realize we're in a position to where we need to bring in a few more pieces in free agency. And if we restructure a deal for me that is less money, that's more money we can spend and throw out to these guys to try to entice them to come in. So kudos to LeBron James on that. A lot of players in his situation would just take the max deal and play out the rest of their career. But he's like, nah, I'm going to take a pay cut. Let's rebuild this team. Let's go get a championship. Kevin Love, more free agent news. He's going to be returning to the Heat with a two-year deal. Looks like James Harden going to be staying with the Clippers. 2-year, $70 million deal there. And that was, James Harden was kind of one of those bargaining pieces, right, for Paul George. And like I said, the Clippers wanted to re-sign Paul George, but Paul George was kind of like, I don't really know if I want to stay in L.A. So the Clippers were like, well, you know, we did just re-sign Kawhi back in January, a 5-year, lots of money deal. We are going to work out a deal with James Harden, so you'll have Harden and you'll have Leonard. We can have you in there as our big three if you just re-sign. And Paul George, obviously, now is a member of the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Clippers were kind of like, well, we still need to make sure that we keep James Harden because we can't lose James Harden and Paul George in the same free agent period. So James Harden signing a 2-year, $70 million deal there with the Clippers again, and it looks like the Clippers got some money to spend, and they're spending it on trying to keep certain players, right? I think the 2-year, $70 million deal for James Harden was kind of create them some opportunities to where they maybe could give Paul George a little bit more money. But ultimately, like I said, George was just he was done with the Clippers. He was out of there. Golden State, they are waiving point guard Chris Paul. So they're going to waive him, make him an unrestricted free agent. He's heading into his 20th season inside the NBA. So looks like Golden State waiving point guard Chris Paul. So they're Golden State going to be without Chris Paul next year. So no State Farm commercials for them. And, of course, if Klay Thompson leaves and goes to the Lakers or wherever else he may go, that's two players that Golden State is going to be down. So they're going to be looking in free agent, I'm sure, to add a couple of players to help replace them. And, man, it's only going to get crazier, and we're going to keep covering it. Any kind of big names with some of these players we talked about, whether it's Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, any of the other ones, these big stories that happen throughout NBA free agency over the next, I think probably over the next week. I think until about Thursday or Friday of this week, then it'll kind of start to settle down. But we're going to see crazy announcements, whether it's players opting out. Because remember, they can still announce that they're opting out, right? They had to wait till Sunday to make the announcement. They can still make the announcement now. So we'll still have some players decide maybe on like Tuesday or Wednesday of this week to opt out. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's NBA free agency. And like I've said before on this show, NBA free agency has got to be one of the most craziest free agencies in all of professional sports. So we're going to have more to talk about coming up over the next few days for sure right here on The Glass Half Full. Let's move on. And now another player, not in the NBA, but signing a new deal, fresh off of winning the Stanley Cup. Before they could even finish the celebration, the Florida Panthers have signed Sam Reinhart to an 8-year, $69 million deal. I think this is smart by that front office, by the Panthers. Secure as many of your key stars as you can that allowed you to win the Stanley Cup this year. That way you have a great opportunity to win it, not only next year, but for years to come. And Sam Reinhart was a big part of the success for the Florida Panthers this season and why they were able to lift Lord Stanley's Cup. What was it, a week ago or so, something like that? So I think it's a smart move to sign Sam Reinhart, especially to a deal of this length, 8 years, $69 million. That's going to keep him there in South Florida for quite some time. Panther fans got to be happy about that. Major League Baseball, new format for the Home Run Derby. We got the All-Star Game coming up in 2 weeks. On July 16th. So the Home Run Derby going to be, what, a day or two before that, on like the 14th or the 15th. Looks like we are going to be seeing a new format for it. We're going to take, instead of having it split up basically and having, you know, four players on one side, four players on the other, and then a semifinal, we're going to take all eight and they're going to play in a group and a pool together, right? So you're going to have eight players who are competing in the Home Run Derby, of which we only know one name so far. So we still have seven spots open. I'm sure those will probably fill up over the next week or so. But it looks like they're going to take all eight. They will all compete against each other. So instead of it being bracketed off and things like that, or it being American League versus National League or anything like that, it's just going to be all eight competitors going against each other. The top four home run amounts will advance onto a bracketed semifinal round. So then you will have a bracketed semifinal round, and I guess they'll probably do the person with the most in that top four will take on the person with the least in that top four, and then the two in between will take on each other. Then the winners of those two brackets will advance on to play in the final to determine the winner of the Home Run Derby. So a little bit of a simplified format there where you've got just all eight competing against each other. The top four will move on to the semifinals, and then the top two, and then the two winners from those semifinal games will advance on to play for the Home Run Derby crown in the final round. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the Home Run Derby each and every year, and I know we've heard names get thrown out there, like maybe Aaron Judge could compete in it this year. You know, we've heard Bryce Harper, possibly. Shohei Ohtani, possibly. I would love to see all of the above compete in the Home Run Derby this year. It's kind of like that the dunk contest in the NBA. The more big names you have competing in it, the better and more entertaining it's going to be. I mean, think back to when Dwight Howard was with the Orlando Magic. Right, and he would do all those dunk contests. He'd put on the Superman cape. You know, he would do all that. He would bring, you know, he'd bring stuff out there. The Magic's mascot. They would do, you know, different tricks and stuff like that. The more big names that are in these types of events, the more entertaining they are and the more enjoyable they are. So I am all for with this new format, especially guys like Bryce Harper, Shohei Ohtani, and even Aaron Judge stepping into the batter's box for the Home Run Derby. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, still seven spots left, but we do have 2 weeks until it is time to worry about that. So still plenty of time for them to fill those spots. Moving on now, how about some gymnastic news for the Olympics? Simone Biles officially back on Team USA. She is heading to Paris to be a part of the gymnastics team. And she's actually only one of only four women to ever go to the Olympics three times for gymnastics, which that actually surprised me because I was thinking in my head that there was more over the course that have done that. But I guess I'm trying to think in my head of who they are. I don't have the full list in front of me, but if I had to take a shot in the dark, the other three, Shawn Johnson would probably have to be one of them. Allie Raisman, maybe, is one of the other two. I don't know if Michaela Maroney, I don't know if she is part of that group or not. But I really thought it was more than just four women to make it to the Olympics for the gymnastics teams three times in their career. But still definitely looking forward to seeing Simone Biles compete. You know, if Simone Biles, I'm just going to say it, Simone Biles is on Team USA, Team USA is bringing home some gold, right? Team USA always brings home. The gymnastics is just one of those sports when it comes to the Olympics. Team USA is bringing home gold, right? You can count on that. Maybe not overall, but they're definitely bringing home some gold medals for individual achievements as well. Caitlin Clark breaks the Indiana Fever assist record for a season in just 20 games. So her and Angel Reese, we talked about Angel Reese last week, where she broke the WNBA, was it the WNBA double-double record with like 9 or 10 double-doubles in a row. And now Caitlin Clark breaking the Indiana Fever assist record in just 20 games so far this season. And these two women are the new faces of the WNBA. The WNBA is going to get stronger and it's going to get more fans because of players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So anytime something happens like this, it's definitely something worth noting and worth keeping an eye on. So congratulations to her on that. The Indiana Fever did kind of storm back and have a comeback in that game as well. I think they won 88-85 was the final score of that one. So congratulations not only Caitlin, but on the Fever as well, getting that win. Kind of been a tough up-and-down season for them, but they're definitely kind of trending and moving in the right direction with especially the addition of Caitlin Clark. Here's one thing I do want to talk about real quick. I keep seeing this pop up more and more as we get closer to the college football season. And I hear people call in to sports talk radio shows and they talk about it. The narrative that Texas and Oklahoma, are they ready for the SEC? Oh, it's big boy football. Are they ready? Yes, they're ready. Come on. If you are sitting there and you're thinking, ah, there's no way the Texas Longhorns are going to be ready for the SEC. There's no way that the Oklahoma Sooners are going to be ready for the SEC. These teams have been ready for the SEC. All right, let's not forget the last time, Oklahoma Sooners played an SEC team in the bowl game. If I'm not mistaken, it was they played Florida, and was it the Cotton Bowl in Dallas? And they absolutely just destroyed that Florida Gator team. One of the last seasons that Dan Mullen was the head coach. I mean, they absolutely just dismantled that Florida team. So Oklahoma knows how to play in the SEC. Texas beat Alabama last year in Tuscaloosa. They know how to play in the SEC. I don't know where this narrative came from that, oh, they don't know how to play in the SEC. Are they ready to play in the SEC? It's going to be a learning curve for them. Look, if Missouri was able to get to the SEC championship game their first handful of seasons in the league, I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to be just fine in the SEC, especially with the new formats, right? Because there's no divisions anymore, right? They're not pinpointed down to just these certain teams. They can actually play some of the bottom half teams as majority of their SEC games, and that can actually benefit them because there's no divisions anymore, right? It used to be where really, honestly, and truthfully, a game in the SEC West, if you were a member of the SEC East, a game against an SEC West team wouldn't keep you out of Atlanta. Now, everybody's on the same playing field. There are no divisions. It's going to be the top two ranked teams in the SEC that'll head to Atlanta for the conference championship game. And there's a very real possibility that this year, hold on to your butts, SEC fans, that could be Texas and Oklahoma. So the narrative of, are they ready to play in the SEC? Yes, they're more than ready to play in the SEC. They have winning caliber teams. They've got talented teams. They're going to shock and surprise a lot of people when the season gets kicked off. Because again, let me remind you, Texas did go into Tuscaloosa last year and beat Alabama. Texas was in the college football playoffs. There's a very real chance that both of these teams could be in the college football playoffs now that we have 12 teams. So Texas, Oklahoma, going to be just fine in the SEC. We can squash that narrative right here, right now on the glass half full. Close out today's show. Big congratulations to a local athlete, Pensacola Catholic running back CJ Nettles. He made a big announcement over the weekend, announced that he is committing to play for the Furman Paladins. So he's going to be heading out to Greenville, South Carolina to further his education and playing career. Said every time he went out there to visit the players and the coaches, it just made it feel like home. And that's one thing that I've noticed. You know, it's, you know, NIL and all that stuff. Yes, that matters now. But you still hear all these players talk about, I went to this place and it just felt right. It just felt like home. That stuff still matters in recruiting. So kudos to the coaching staff and the players there with the Paladins. They're going to get a good running back. CJ Nettles, definitely one of the better running backs here in the area. So definitely going to be keeping an eye on his career as he furthers his education. Again, committing to play for Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. Congratulations so much, CJ. Best of luck to you, not only this upcoming season with Catholic, but moving forward into your playing career with the Paladins. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Have a great Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow for a Taco Tuesday.